You're in very good voice today. I appreciate those songs. I appreciate the selection of those songs. I look out and I see lots of young ones in our audience, and that's really a blessing. Roland holding Juan on his lap, that's a blessing also, a great blessing, not only to June and Roland and family, but each one of us. And I know that God is going to take care of us this morning. I know that I stand in need, and I know that He has provided for that need. If I'll open up my heart and my mind to the message that our brother Darren will deliver. For I do know that he has sought the Lord. I know that without doubt. I have no doubt that he has a great desire to be of service in this gospel to each one of us here. So I would offer up to you our brother Darren. I would ask that you say a silent prayer in his behalf and give him your smiles and your attention.
Good morning. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I stood up here this morning, or sat down, I remembered sitting right here in a chair as my brothers laid their hands on my head and I received the Holy Ghost. And as they were praying for me, I was surrounded by fire. And I opened my eyes and I saw the fire. God is so good to us. And we're so unworthy of His love. God wanted me to speak about marriage today. Not the marriage between a husband and a wife, but our marriage to Him as His bride. The church, and us individually as members of the church. That commitment we made when we're baptized. That commitment we testify of as we go down into the waters of baptism. That love He gives to us. And that love we give back to Him as we respond to His love and as we love one another. That commitment we make to Him, to serve Him with our lives, to live the truth that He offers to us. I'd like to turn to Mark chapter 12. I didn't bring any Kleenex. Is there any chance? Thank you. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "What is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." In another place, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What are his commandments? To love him. To love one another. To commit our lives to him. To be baptized by water and by his Spirit. To have faith. To repent of our sins. To have faith until the end of this life. Faith in who? In Christ. Who paid the price for our sins. Who was raised up by his Father. That we might be raised up. To serve him. Every day. Our brother Sheldon this morning mentioned, repent, keep his commandments, bear witness to others, talk to your neighbors. These are some of his commandments. Verse 31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. This love that he's talking about, it can only be that love of Christ, that gift of charity, that love that he first gave us. If we love him as he loves us, if we make ourselves his as a bride when she commits to her husband, she becomes his, her husband's. So should we become Christ's and share with that love that he's given us, that he's offered us, by laying down his life. Remember, he came down, humbled himself as a man. Sometimes we face afflictions. In fact, our brother Sheldon read it this morning in Hebrews chapter 12, where it said, "We have not strived yet unto blood. Yet Christ did. He set the example." That was the love he had. And we should respond with that same love. That love where we're willing to submit ourselves, even to blood. That means we face all the afflictions with that love of our God. That we're willing to submit ourselves like a wife submits to her husband. Even when she's unsure of the outcome. That's how we should submit to God. We're unsure of the outcome, yet we trust that he is faithful and true. And that's how we should submit, with that love. That love that he has for us and we have for him. Will you turn with me now to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 21, verse 45. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The Father making the marriage for his son, for our Father in heaven, making a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Can you imagine that? This is our God sending out an invitation to us. Over and over, our brother Bill said, our brother Sheldon said, where will we be? Over and over in our Sunday school class, where will we be? Will we come to the marriage, to the wedding feast? It says they would not come. Are we them? Or are we the faithful, the believing, the loving? Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They went about their business. Our brother Sheldon said this morning, asked us, what are we doing on the Sabbath day? What are we doing with our life? Are we doing what we want to do? Or are we doing the will of God? Reminds me of the scripture where the sower went to sow some seed. Don't think I wrote it down, but those who sowed on good ground were those who were honest in heart, repentant. And it says they had bore fruit of righteousness. Remember that word this morning? I heard it over and over in Sunday school. Those who were ready bore the fruit of righteousness. Verse 6, And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Down through history, those who have been God's people, who have preached his word, prophets, have been killed for his sake. And we shouldn't think that won't happen to us. We may have to strive into blood. We may have to die for the cause. But we need to be willing to do that. Verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. The house of Israel. Many chose to reject his ways, most when Christ came to his people. very few, the apostles and his few disciples that followed him, chose his way. It says, "Go ye therefore," in verse 9, "into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." He went to the Gentiles, those who were not worthy, those who were not of the original covenant of the house of Israel. He went to us. He came to us and offered this invitation to us, who the Book of Mormon says are Gentiles that came across the waters. He sent servants to us and bid us to the invitation. Will we come? Will we be ready? Verse 10, "So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests." The invitation is to all who will humble themselves before him can come to the feast. "And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment." He didn't have a white and clean garment. "And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless." If that were you, if that were me, I would be speechless at that last day when I come unto him and I don't have that clean garment. It's not washed in the blood of the Lamb. I haven't repented, as our brother Sheldon said, of all of my sins. I haven't made myself wholly his. I would be speechless with shame. I don't want to be speechless with shame. I want to be ready. Verse 13, "Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Will we be the chosen ones? Will we be ready? Matthew chapter 25. Verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." These were they that believed. They believed there was going to be a wedding feast. And they all wanted to meet Christ. It says, "They went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." They were ready. "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Are you ready? Are you ready, if called to the marriage feast today? Are you ready? And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. I can't help but think all that I've heard this morning from the beginning when Brother Ammon stood up and started reading scriptures through the Sunday school class and to what God gave me to preach this morning. Are we ready? Have we borne the fruit of righteousness? I want to stop here. We'll come back to this, but I want to read in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. This is Paul to the Philippians. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He's talking about his willingness to sacrifice, as Christ sacrificed his life for him and for us. His willingness to return that love to God and sacrifice and suffer loss. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, worthless. He has counted, it's like our brother Ammon read this morning, about our willingness to not partake of the things of this world, to be his, to be God's, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. So this isn't our own righteousness. As our brother Bill, or brother Sheldon spoke of this morning, which is of the law. But that righteousness which is of God by faith. By faith in his whole plan of salvation. By faith in the merits of Christ and what he did. And by faith in the power of God and what he does in us. We can't accomplish it on our own. But he can and will if we have faith in him. And if we submit to his commandments. Back to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, the ones who weren't ready. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. And if we're not ready, that's what he'll say to us. I know you not. Because I gave you the opportunity, I gave you the invitation, I gave you the tools, I gave you my word, and you rejected it. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. And this is the most beautiful depiction of the wedding. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That's that praise that our brother Sheldon was speaking of this morning. The praise of all those who believe in him and have remained faithful to the end. And they have come to that wedding. They have made it. They have entered in with him, and they're full of praise because they're with their God for eternity. They cry out, Alleluia. That their God reigneth. Verse 7, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Can you imagine being a part of that? It's just so joyful. The thought of being there ready, that you have been faithful, that you have believed his word, that you've been obedient, that you've kept his commandments, that your garments are pure and white to the end. And there you are before your king. His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And what righteousness is that? The righteousness of God. He's prepared her. He's made her ready. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. They will come to pass. For you and I, if he has prepared us, if we've allowed him to prepare us, I have to stop a moment. I remember one of the very first sermons I heard by a Church of Christ minister. It was at a reunion in Warrensburg. And some of the brothers from the East Local had come to Columbia first, and they had taught us about the Church of Christ. So we wanted to attend a reunion. And we went to the reunion, and the brother preached. And he preached about the crucifixion of Christ and all the horror of it. And he said, "Don't let Christ die on the cross in vain for your life." And I thought, wow, I don't ever want to do that. I want to do what I can. That he died on the cross so that I may be worthy to be at the marriage feast. I don't want to do anything that his death on the cross would be in vain for me. Verse 10. "And I fell at his feet to worship him." Speaking of the angel. "And he said unto me, 'See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have testimony of Jesus.'" Worship God for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When I speak by prophecy, it's the testimony of Jesus. It's not me. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True." That's why we can trust in him. That's why we can trust in him to make us pure and white, because he is faithful and his word is true. "And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." His eyes as a flame of fire. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. This is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And can you imagine, after all he suffered, and as he stands there, those flames of fire are his truth. He, when he sees us, he pierces right into our souls. The word says that he knows every thought and the intent of the heart. He knows everything we say and do and think. "And on his head were many crowns." He is worthy. He earned those crowns. "And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself." Verse 13, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood," representing his sacrifice. "And his name is called the Word of God." John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." His name, the Word of God. Life. When we make ourselves ready, when God makes us ready, it's through His Word. We should be reading it every day, preparing ourselves, making ourselves ready, feasting on it. Our brother Nephi preached in the second book of Nephi, I think it's in chapter 13 and 14, where he says, the question's asked, what do we do after we're baptized? And he says, feast upon the words of Christ. And it's by no accident that Christ here is called the Word of God. And it's life, that Word of God. We read it and we feel life growing up in us. We feel His life in us. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Those followers of Him. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 17. By the way, this whole section of chapter 6 of Ephesians is all about preparing ourselves, making ourselves ready with that armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that sword which is the Word of God. Once again, preparing ourselves with the Word of God. Back to Revelation, chapter 19, verse 15. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that Word of God, that with it He should smite the nations. That's how He'll judge us. Because He knows, He told us, to read His Word and to trust in it and to live by it. And that's how we'll be judged, but by what we should know. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron. 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 68. And it came to pass that I beheld that the rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the Word of God, which led to the fountain of living waters, or to the tree of life, which waters are a representation of the love of God. So how can we obtain this love of God? By the Word of God, holding fast to it. Reading it daily, making it a part of our lives, living by it, trusting in it, letting it dwell within us and giving us life. Back to verse 15. And He shall rule them with the rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture, on His thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel. I want to stop there. King of kings and Lord of lords. You know, we haven't lived under a king. We haven't been taught to bow the knee at the sight of the king. But we shall bow the knee. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it behooves us that we bow the knee now and recognize Him as King of kings and Lord of lords, and we submit ourselves wholly to Him. Oh, I think about in our marriages. I think about in my life. And the trials that I've had have been because I haven't submitted myself wholly to Him. Because when we do what's right, when we're obedient, He makes life joy even through the trials. Verse 17, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that they may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men. Here's the destruction of all who would not come to the marriage. And the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. People who seemed to be of God. The false prophet who wrought miracles. They weren't ready. They didn't know him. He didn't know them. With which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. Slain by the word of God. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. I want to go back. To verse 6. And I'll finish here. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready.
Thank you, Darren. As you're turning to 277, just remember those announcements that I made. Also, our brother Vic will be our preacher this evening, and I know of a surety that he would appreciate an interest in your prayers this afternoon, for I know that he has that same desire as our brother to be of service.